Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. A psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion in the far north? The city of the great king, God in her palaces, has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves, they passed by together, they saw it, and they were amazed, they were terrified, and they fled in alarm. Panic seized them there, anguish as of a woman in childbirth with the east wind. Thou dost break the ships of Tarshish, and so as we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. Selah. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple, as in thy name, O God. So in thy praise to the ends of the earth, the right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God forever and ever. And he will guide us until death, or translated says forever. Amen. Amen. So now the psalmists, again, these are still the sons of Korah. And if you haven't been around, the sons of Korah, remember, they led a rebellion against Moses, against his leadership, and God took care of them, but the sons were spared. And so seemingly, because they were spared, they basically turned into worshipers. And they basically said, oh man, okay, yeah, God, you know, you saved us, you rescued us, right? So we're just going to spend the rest of our life just praising you. And they seem to become official singers or musicians in the temple. And so so they're talking about the Mount Zion, and you kind of have to know a little bit of some history, but also some New Testament stuff in relation to what exactly this Mount Zion means. And so they start off, so the psalmists, the sons of Korah, just starting off to say, man, the Lord is great. Remember, these guys are quite good. The sons of Korah are a little different than the Psalms of David. You know, Psalms of David, there's a little bit of complaining, a little bit of describing the situation, and then it usually ends in praise. But the sons of Korah are very different. They just start with praise. They just start from that space, which I think is a really, really good place to start. I would suggest to us that when you enter into a time of prayer, that you start, yes, we will confess our sins. We'll get to all that stuff as well. But I would suggest start at praise. Just start worshiping God. And what that does, it gets us in our heart in the right place. It gets us in the atmosphere of God. And so, I learned this when I was a new Christian. I still do it to this day. And there's a simple acronym that people have used for generations on their prayer life. And it's just really simple, ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the A usually stands for adoration. The C stands for confession. The T stands for thanksgiving. And the S stands for supplication. Or this would be your intercession, what you're praying for. And I always like this because it starts with adoration. We just praise God. And we just lift up his name, and we just tell God how wonderful he is and how faithful and how great. And that usually sets the tone for everything else that happens in our prayer life. And so I suggest, it seems to be that the sons of Korah follow this example as well. And so great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In other words, he deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration. Why? Because the city of our God, and now he's talking about Jerusalem. And so he's talking about his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, it's in the heights, it's the joy to the whole earth. And then you have to think that why would this be joyful to the whole earth? It's joyful for Jewish people, yes, I understand that. But why would this be a joy to the whole earth? Because this is a foreshadowing of Christ. It's a if I could actually just draw even a stronger statement, it's actually a foreshadowing of the new covenant that's about to come. Beautiful elevation is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king, God in her palaces. He has made himself known as a stronghold. And so if you go to Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 will give us an idea of what the psalmist is talking about a little bit more. In Galatians 4, Paul, starting at verse 21, Paul starts talking about the old covenant and the new covenant and how they can exist together. So we'll start this at 21. It says, "Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, 'Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise.'" And so Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, is basically giving us a contrast of Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And so you got to understand this, when the scriptures talks about this, Mount Zion is talking about the promise. Sinai, remember Sinai was the law. And so the law was given, and Paul will go to great lengths talking about what the law has done to us. The law is a mirror. Remember, we would have not even known sin outside of the law. And so in that way, it's seen as something that's negative. It led us somewhere. That's what the law does. It led us to this place where we realize, I can't do anything. I can't be righteous enough. And so then that's why we need Mount Zion. We need Jerusalem to come in and set us free, basically, from the bondage. And we this is contrast. We see the law of Moses, and the law of Christ. And those things kind of are contrasting one another. A great example is in the Old Testament. And we see through the plagues. And particularly if you look at the Old Testament through the plagues, and then you look at what Jesus does, how he inaugurates his ministry in John chapter 2. And so we see the Old Covenant, the law, which brought death. So what does God do? God turns water into what? Blood. Remember in Moses' time, so water turns into blood. It's a horrible thing. Water that's supposed to be refreshing, it's supposed to be good, it's supposed to be all, give us life and sustenance. But what happens? That's indicative of Old Covenant. Old Covenant just brought us death. The New Covenant, Jesus in John 2, he inaugurates his ministry. This is basically his ministry is beginning. And what does he do? He turns water into wine. Something for us to enjoy. And obviously in Old Testament imagery, the like Isaiah, Ezekiel, these guys will write, the overflowing abundance of wine was meant the messianic times. That God would lead us to his banqueting table, and the banqueting table, that this great feast would overflow with wine. So in the Old Covenant, water into blood. The New Covenant, water into wine. And we see these contrasting pictures that go all the way through. And so obviously the psalmist here is talking about the not the wine, but it's talking about the good things in the sense that New Covenant. This is Mount Zion. This is Jerusalem, the holy mountain. And I'll just throw an extra one there. It says in verse 2, is Mount Zion in the far north? If you turn to Isaiah, this is one of the imageries in the scriptures in the Old Testament, and it's an allusion to heaven. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, remember this is talking about Lucifer. This is when Lucifer fell, and he says, "But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. And so, yeah, this idea. So the psalmist is wondering, like, is this heaven? This, you know, this holy city, the city of our God, the city of our great King. Is this heaven? Is this paradise? Is this what we're talking about? And so that's the question that the sons of Korah are asking here. God in our palaces, he has made himself known as a stronghold. We are safe. We are secure when we're in Christ in that way. And then verse 4, for lo, the kings assemble themselves. They pass by together. Tell me if this sounds familiar. They saw it. They were amazed. They were terrified. They fled in alarm. Panic seized them there. Anguish as is of women in childbirth. You remember later on, Julius Caesar will have this very, very well-known statement, right? Veni, vidi, vici. In other words, I came, I saw, I conquered. That's a very a worldly perspective. This is man's perspective. In God's perspective, that's what happened. They came, they saw, and they fled. You know, they were terrified, you know, at what they saw, because God was in his holy mountain. God was in this place. It literally says they were terrified. They fled in alarm, because that's who God is. God in his strength, God in his majesty. Panic seized them at this place. Lord, you with the east wind, you break the ships of Tarshish. Or the ships of Tarshish were considered the mightiest sea vessels around. And the psalmist just says, even the wind takes care of those things. You know, it would be like akin to us, well, not these days, but back in those days. Remember, they used to talk about the Titanic in that way. Oh, the Titanic would never sink. You know, it would never. And then, you know, it sunk in the first journey, and it would be very similar. And he says, just the wind, even the wind just comes and breaks the ships of Tarshish. That's how powerful our God is in this place. And then verse 8 is a connecting verse. And he says, as we have heard, so we have seen. This is a really powerful verse. As we have heard, so we have seen. This should be the prayer of every parent here. You have children, you pray this prayer for sure. I'm sure your Christian parents pray this prayer over you. They told you about the works of God. They expressed to you how faithful God was. But it's not just it's just not enough to talk about what God did in the past. The psalmist is saying simply, we heard, but we've also seen. It's important, brothers and sisters, that you have your own stories as well. Yes, the past, God did some amazing things. He did amazing things with your parents. He did amazing things, you know, in your life and all these things. But this is something that God wants you to experience yourself. He doesn't want you just to hear other people's testimonies. Those are great. I'm telling you, they're fantastic. You know what I mean? We need to hear, and we need to be able to share with others so they can. And then what it does is increase their faith, because what happens is God wants them to also see for themselves. God, you ever heard this phrase, God doesn't have any grandchildren? That's not the way he works. Every single person makes their own decision to follow Christ. There's generational blessing. There's thing that happens in that way. But the heart of God, he wants everyone to experience him for themselves. And so this is the twofold. We have heard. We heard how God worked through Moses, and how God led them through the promised land, to the promised land, how God worked in David's life. We've heard all these things. We've heard Nehemiah built the city. We heard all that stuff, but that's great. But now we've also seen. We've seen in our lifetime. We've seen in my life, in my time, how faithful and how mighty God has been. And so, like I said, as parents, you let your kids know, right? You let your kids know how good God is. You know, you let them know how you got married and how you got together and the faithfulness of God and all those things. But then make sure you also pray for them that they would experience God themselves. It's really it's such a powerful verse. We have heard. That means their fathers and the generation before them did a really good job. They shared what God has done. They shared of his mighty deeds. That was really good. But now they said, but so we have also seen. We have also experienced God ourselves. And that's important. We love testimonies of other people, but God wants us to have our own testimonies. Amen. God wants us to experience him as well in our hearts. And I love this, man. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord our hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. And it's that pause, the Selah. This is what God does. We have thought, and this is what happens, we have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So the psalmist now, they're in the temple. And as they're in the temple, the only thing they're thinking is of the loving kindness of God. Remember the loving kindness in the Hebrew, the hesed, that's basically, it's the covenant nature of God. If there's any word in the Old Testament that represents God's covenant nature with the people of Israel, it's the hesed. More than any other word, the loving kindness. Remember, we taught on this before, that in English, they had to make this word up. This word didn't exist. And so when they're writing the King James Version, they actually had to make a new word and combine love and kindness together because it was so packed with meaning. Another way we can describe it is grace, receiving something that we don't deserve. And they're sitting in the midst of this temple. You can imagine they're sitting there, maybe like we're sitting in church this morning, and in the peace of the sanctuary. And then you just think about the goodness of God. You think about the overwhelming kindness of the Lord. You think about his love and how he's been so good to us. That's what these psalmists are doing. And it makes sense because think about it. They're sitting there in the temple and they're ruminating on God, and they're just so filled with covenant love and covenant desire because, I mean, number one, he created a place for them to come to. He made it possible. And then he creates the atmosphere. I mean, you know, you got the incense and all these things that really draw us closer to God. He creates the atmosphere. And then obviously we know, I mean, speaking in New Testament covenant terms, he's created the sacrifice, his son Jesus Christ. And so that we can come. I mean, think about it. This morning, you can come to the Lord in your prayer unashamed. You can come, though we have sins, you can come totally free because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And in that same way, if you think about it in those comments, man, we should be, you know, in that same way, thinking about his loving kindness as we sit in the midst of his sanctuary in the temple. And as is thy name, O God, so is thy praise to the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us unto death, or guide us forever. And the psalmist, he's just in love with this city. He says, walk around, see how God is fortified, see the palaces, see the strong towers that are laid out there, and see how wonderful and powerful this God is. And as a result, continue to give him praise. So let's close our eyes. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Verse Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus the Christ is worthy to be praised today. He is worthy to be honored. He is worthy to be served. His sacrifice has prepared the way for us. And as we shared early on in the devotion, let's just give Him praise. As we sing, let's just adore Him. Let's give Him what He truly deserves. He is our great God. He is the joy of the whole earth. Isn't that what the angels and shepherds sang when Christ came into the world? Joy to the world. Our Savior is born. Well, let's worship the Lord.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Of it all, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. It all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Amen. You truly is worthy of it all. And as we just enter into a time of prayer, I want to encourage you just to keep just praising the Lord. Just think about your life as you sit in the sanctuary. Just think about the goodness of God and how He's led you so far. Everything may not be as good as maybe you would like, but He's led us so far. He's led us to this place. And as we pray, as we come together corporately, let's just continue to thank Him. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community this morning. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. pray for our community dealing with a non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our community, our mission focus. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our government. Let's pray that our leaders would make righteous decisions. Let's pray against the wealth gap on our city that causes so much grief. Let's pray for revival. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit upon the believers and would spread out. Pray for our churches here. Let's pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to continue to use us, to unite us, that we would be led by the Spirit of God, and that we would work hard for the Lord. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries, our welcoming barista, and our logistics team. Let's just pray for our leaders, pray for our volunteers to really grab a hold of this ministry and really lead our church into being a friendly, welcoming church. Let's pray. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really lead and really empower them. I pray that our musicians, our singers, our team, that would really lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for the pregnant women in the house, Kathleen, Eling, Jade, there's others. In fact, this past week, I just heard of 4 ladies that are pregnant, new ladies. And so it looks like we're going to have another stream coming. Let's just pray. Let's pray for their health. Pray for protection over their womb. Pray for the husbands as well as they prepare. Many for the first time as fathers. Let's lift up. Let's pray for house church tonight. Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K-House, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for the discussion. The sermon discussion would really be life-giving, and that people would really draw close to the Lord and to one another. Let's pray. Pray together. Lord, great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Lord, in the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. And God, we want to, this day, God, and every day, we just want to praise you, Lord. We want to give you thanks, God, as we meditate in your temple. God, we want to think upon your loving kindness, Lord. And so we thank you. Lord, I pray that we would experience you in some way today, God. Help us, Lord. We're in need and mercy of your kindness. We bless you. We love you so much, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.